the Gentleman's Review.
Hello, hello. It is the Gentleman's Review, number 31.
Hey, sorry, I forgot. What was I doing then?
Thank you for coming in spontaneously there.
I didn't want to interrupt your thing.
I was reading.
I didn't know how long you were going to go for.
I was reading using my eyes.
Ah, no problem. 31, yes, 31, which is currently the number of Labour MPs who still think that Gordon Brown stands a chance of winning the next election. It is also the IQ of the average BNP member.
Hey.
A little bit of politics there.
And 31 will be the number of runs the English 2020 team will be averaging by the end of this current World Cup.
Wow. This is like being in the Bugle. It's great. I mean, in a proper podcast and everything.
Yeah.
It's a funny one.
I'm quite impressed by that.
But yeah, much as you can get amusement out of the BNP, it's a bit depressing that not only have they managed to get two Euro MPs voted in last weekend, but one of them was voted in Yorkshire.
Yeah, I'd just like to remind everyone I don't come from Yorkshire.
Yeah, and if
I'm
anybody,
actually a southerner.
Yeah, there you go. And if anybody wants my opinions on it, they can go to my blog at www.martinwolfenden.com.
Do you mean doobie-doobie-doo?
Would you like to say that again?
doobie-doobie-doo.martinwolfenden.com.
There we go.
Yes. I got a very depressed text message from a friend of ours when the Yorkshire results came in for the Yorkshire and Humber region, saying, oh my God, how embarrassing, we've got the first county to actually vote one of these bastards in. And I could only console her by saying, yeah, this is only because the Lancastrians can't count as quickly as us.
Well,
it was proven right two hours later when they came in there.
Well, my opinion is that they should change the name of South Yorkshire to New Lancashire.
Ah, that's a clever idea.
Because it is just a bit of Lancashire that's fallen down.
Is that your excuse for it?
It is, yeah.
It wasn't West Yorkshire that voted in the BNP.
No.
Because we're all nice here. Yeah. No, it was the South.
Yeah, it was.
We've never trusted them.
That's it. We should. Anybody who votes BNP should be made instantly South Yorkshire. And then they should be fenced off and then pushed into the sea.
Yeah, that will work. Happy, happy policy. But yeah, two of them now. And people have been saying, all it is an argument against proportional representation, because look what happens. But I can't do that. I've been a proponent of PR for so long as a Lib Dem.
Yes.
I can't now go against it just because somebody I don't like has managed to get in.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Max
Clifford. It would be a bit hypocritical if you suddenly changed your opinions on it just because of that.
But, you know, there's a fundamental reason behind it. I mean, it might be run by, you know, absolute nasty Nazi bastards. But there is a reason why hundreds of thousands of people are voting for it. It has to be addressed.
Hundreds of thousands.
Well, I don't know. Either that or we just get rid of the whole voting farrago.
Yeah. On the plus side, though, it has given us now the prospect of Nick Griffin being egged every single time he tries to appear in public.
Yeah, let's hope so.
In fact, I think the country is running out of eggs at the moment due to that.
There's going to be an egg shortage.
I went to my local supermarket, there was absolutely no eggs at all. Apart from the really cruel ones where they stick chickens on spikes and make them lay eggs.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just efficient doing it that way.
They're more delicious, too.
And he got short shrift from Anne Widdecombe as well.
Who just
basically said, oh, just stop whining. You know, you're a politician, now it happens. You know, it's just part of the course. Yeah. But yeah, it is going to be fun. Just to see how long they can keep it up, because he's tried twice now and it's happened both times. Mm.
It's quite impressive though that even though he managed to get voted in, I was surprised when I looked at the results. I thought he'd be voted in by about 10 people, and when I saw it was in the hundreds of thousands, like with the delicious sprinkles that he put on top of trifles,
yummy.
I was quite surprised that there were that many people who were so fucking stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a shame, but I'm not in any way surprised that there are that many people who are so fucking stupid, because I get public transport regularly.
Perhaps I've just got a better view of my fellow man than you. Perhaps. I'm not as jaundiced.
Better as in happier, not better as in more accurate.
No.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, I may have a delusional, liberal view of the human race.
That's one of the few positives you can try and dredge out of it. Is that we don't exist in a country that has hundreds of thousands of nasty racist bastards, but just a lot of stupid people who will believe the lies peddled to them by racist bastards. Yeah. So.
But that's why they can't be trusted to vote.
Yeah, take the vote away from those people. Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, it would be...
I've always thought you should have a quiz when you go into the polling station, and they should sit you down and take you off to the side and say, who are you voting for? And you tell them, and they say, why? and you have to be able to justify it sensibly.
To whom, though?
To the person who's, you know, obviously they have decent folk appointed as the arbiters of this. And if you can justify why you're voting it, that isn't just because, oh, I don't like Gordon Brown, so I'm going to vote for the BNP, because that is obviously the best thing to do if you don't like current government, who obviously wouldn't get to vote. If you can sensibly justify it, then you get to cast your vote, and otherwise not.
It's a happy thought, I suppose.
Yeah, that's how it should be done.
I suspect it might be a tad impractical to achieve, but, you know. Write it in.
It's important.
I mean, Gordon Brown's all up for reforming the electrical system.
Yeah, yeah, he hates that fucking electrical system. He does.
Up for reforming that as well, but yeah, the electoral system seems to be like my highest priority.
I might vote. I'll write to him then. Yeah.
One of the strange things about it, I mean, just looking at who got voted in this country, I don't know how many we get, 70 or 80 odd MEPs we return.
Yeah.
But these are for the European Parliament.
Mm.
And the most part, 26 MPs is for the Conservatives, who are Eurosceptic.
Eurosceptic.
And anti-single currency party.
Yeah.
Second place tied with Labour are UKIP, who are absolutely anti-EU.
Yep.
You then got Lib Dems, and their 50% of Lib Dem membership is anti-EU as well. And so the vast majority that we're sending there don't actually like Europe in the first place. How are they then supposed to do anything constructive
once they
get there?
They're
going to
do anything useful, doesn't it? Well, just sit there pissing and moaning about how they don't like it.
But if every other country is the same, perhaps they just all sit around guessing to each other about how much they hate where they are.
Yeah.
Whilst claiming huge amounts of expenses.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, what? Sorry,
you
caught me out there.
Yes, get behind the microphone before you start talking.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to be twiddling with my knob.
I noticed it was sounding quite shrill. I decided to be more deep and manful.
Oh, you were sounding shrill?
Yes.
All right. What about me? I'm going to say, I do get very passionate about them.
I set it up for Lisa last time, and so I always have the top being higher than the bottom.
The top is higher than her bottom.
Yeah, otherwise she'd be upside down.
Oh, yeah. I must sort out that loan. I can't get to the bank. Sorry, I've completely derailed this conversation. I was
waiting there because I assumed that what with you having started speaking, that you would have something to say.
No.
Ah, well.
Probably naive of me, really, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think that's a real... Yeah. You're just crazy, man.
Yeah.
Just a crazy man.
The other odd thing was that when parties go to the European Parliament, they sort of gang together with similarly minded parties from other countries. So you have, you know, your far right conglomerate, and then you'll have your centre right.
Yeah.
So do the two MEPs for the EBNP sort of search out all the other far right fascists when they get there? And if
probably
so,
do.
How can they possibly enjoy themselves? Because they'll be talking to a load of foreigners.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just confusing, isn't it?
They'll be all in a room together having an orgy.
Boggle their tiny little minds.
Yeah.
What was the... the story was in the Star or the Telegraph today about trying to put these migrants in this country to work campaigning, either picketing or campaigning for political parties in order to try and force them to do something constructive for the country before they're then allowed citizenship.
Yeah.
So if we can have a load of Eastern European potential British citizens campaigning for the BNP... Would that really fuck with their brains?
I think it would.
Because they'd want rid of them, but they'd still be, you know, they're campaigning for them. So,
yeah, but
how will that work?
I think at the end of the day, they're politicians, so they'll just be whoring themselves votes at any cost, really.
It did annoy me the way the Star covered it.
Ooh-ah.
Because the headline is, a Brit passport if you picket and vote Labour. And then the opening paragraph, scheme to give fast-track British passports to migrants who stand on picket lines sparked outrage. Government could also reward foreigners for knocking on doors and asking people to vote Labour. And that's two paragraphs in and is probably about as much as your average Daily Star reader will or can read. But if you actually get further down, it says, the lists of tasks that count... Oh, it also says, well, entitled doing all this stuff, so either political or union activity. So it doesn't say you have to picket, just... like being a union rep or something, seems to it, but it said, the list of tasks that count include canvassing for any party. So it's not, it's not if you knock on doors and ask people to vote Labour, it's if you do some kind of useful political activism for any party. But of course, that's buried right down the bottom, where none of their shit for brains readers will actually get to or read.
The Star column equivalent of fine print.
Yeah. It's just, it annoys me, the slackness of writing.
And look next to it, there's a picture of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. As soon as they get across to the second column, they'll be diverted by the picture of Catherine Zeta-Jones in a sparkly dress and a man's bottom on the page further over, depending on what their proclivities are.
Exactly. I completely forgotten that she existed. I haven't heard of her for a long time.
The Telegraph doesn't have the picture of the man's bottom, but it does have a far nicer picture of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, right.
He does look a very happy man, because in the picture underneath, he's facing the camera and he has a big smile on his face.
He is. He's Gibril Cissé, former of Liverpool and now Sunderland.
Larking about in the sea with a young lady and having a big smile, which is very nice.
Ah, pass that over to Martin, you might enjoy that.
Yeah, hang on, there we go.
Did I see another picture of your, or your... I've got to practice that. Of your David Beckham in there. Has he got a new pants advert
there's
out?
There's a whole full page photo montage of him.
It may even be in the section I've just passed you. Oh no, it's here.
An incredibly suspicious story that on one of his recent photo shoots, he got them to reduce the apparent size of his nads using your airbrush.
You just carry on now.
No.
Turn away.
Point it at the wall, at least.
Backtracking slightly, I mentioned Nan Widdicombe. She's put forward an intention to run for the Speaker's position of the House of Commons. Fantastic.
I think it'll be cracking.
She'd keep him in
she
line.
She claims that she has the respect of, you know, the majority of the members of the House of Commons. I'm not sure whether she's got respect or fear. I suspect what she's actually gone
round... It's a fine line,
what
isn't
what she's gone round is she's gone up to every single person she can find and say, "You respect me, don't you?" And they've gone, "Yes, Anne, yes, yes, we do."
"You respect me?"
Stop looking at me like that. But I'd pay good money to see her as Speaker. I think she'd be fantastic, because she doesn't take any shit, does she?
No.
So let her do it. And if she managed to get it, it would only be a shame that she's standing down at the next election. I'd be campaigning for her to carry on.
Yeah, that'd be good. Order! Order!
See, don't have to say it twice.
No.
Order!
Oh, yes, Mummy.
I don't think she'd even need to say it once. She'd just do that thing what all the scary teachers at school did and just go completely quiet and look at you.
Oh, that is scary. It's even worse when they get the knives out.
It's a very difficult trick to pull off. I think you've got to be a scary woman or even a scarier man. I never managed it. I would just stare at them, and 20 minutes later, they'd still be all shouting and things.
Well, we had one of our biology teachers who was, you know, to look at was a sort of fairly chubby, avuncular-looking chap, but would suddenly, if people were getting slightly too rowdy of his liking, would suddenly start talking very quietly and looking into the class. And everyone would shut up, because he just seemed to have the knack of keeping people in line like that.
It's a old-fashioned way.
What was this technique, which... I suppose in theory might work where as a teacher, and it works suppose with younger kids, but you've got to count down from 5 to 1. You condition them into the fact that by the time you get to 1, that's it.
I think it works better if you're holding a heavy wooden board rubber, doesn't it?
You've got past 1 and they're all still just screaming and shouting, as you just begin to suspect you're not cut out for that profession.
In our day, certainly in my early days, if a teacher went quiet, they went quiet holding a large leather strap.
Yeah.
Which they would bring down on the front row of the class. No matter if you were being noisy or not, you just got smacked around the head or the
You'd get hit by them if you were near, or have a large lump of wood thrown at your head if you were more than a couple of rows back.
Yeah. It was part of the teacher's arsenal.
Yeah.
After 2 woeful years of teacher training, if they brought back in corporal punishment, I'd be paying them to go back into that job.
Applying for all the jobs at the girls' sixth forms.
it's payback time.
but at least my high school, there was, because the strap wasn't the only compulsory or mandatory or whatever you want to call it, the only piece of corporal punishment. Yeah. Teachers were free to make up their own hitting devices.
Yeah.
So we had one teacher which had a massive strap. I mean, it was huge. I mean, it was about 7 feet long. And he used to just come in and wield it from his shoulder and smack it on the desk at the front of the classroom. And then when it was strapping, he'd fold it in 2 and then hit you on the hand with it.
Yeah.
Another teacher who used, you know, white plimsoll, the old sort of white, and he used to... And what we would do, and I got nobbled by this because I didn't do my homework ever. And I was bent over at the front of the class, in front of the board, you know, the blackboard, the old sort of... It was like a big rotating belt, and each side there was a wooden post where it slotted into.
That way you put your hand.
Yeah. But well, no, it wasn't even that. What he'd do is bend you over with your head pointing towards the wooden post,
and then hit you on the arse as hard as I could. And then you'd bang your head on the thing, and then hit you again, bang your head on the thing. And he'd do this 5 times in front of the class, and then send you back, and he had, like, his head...
What an absolute genius.
Head full of bumps and your ass stinging, because he could say that it was merely incidental that you'd hit your head.
Oh, genius.
Because it was allowed to hit you on your ass with anything, or hand, but yeah. Your head was out. You know, so another teacher who came up with the sideboard lift, I think you've probably come across this before... Where she would grab you by sideburns and lift you off the ground. So you were sort of getting your tiptoes, and then you get higher, and then she'd kind of go, and occasionally she would just pull them out.
When precisely did they ban corporal punishment?
It must have been in my fourth year.
Because I can certainly remember.
Yeah.
At junior school.
Yeah.
Being, you know, the teachers having, like in yours, their preferred implements of batteries. I don't remember anybody ever getting bread, but... Actually, I think my mate Rob once got...
I got
spanked.
I got spanked at junior school for arsing about.
Oh, yeah.
Spanked by the head.
Yeah. It must have been my fourth year at senior school. Yeah, that's when they must have got rid of it.
But what's more, we thanked him for it, because they knew he was making him a better person.
Yep.
But, oh, yes, I was debagged and spanked by a teacher, because I was just... They accused me of being lazy back then. Yeah. They anybody who was a bit creative and just wanted to spend their time writing stories, they would consider, lazy! So they'd bent you over, and then to teach me a lesson in the front of the entire class, whipped down my pants and underpants, bent me over his knee, and smacked my ass. Those small humiliations are what made me the man I am today.
You can well believe it.
Bibble.
Do we know of any other elections taking place this week?
No.
I've gone from the Bugle to News Quiz now. Talked you into these.
No, should we?
That was in the paper today.
No. Yeah. Oh, of course, we've got the Iraqi elections with...
Up a bit.
Up.
Iran.
Up and right, yeah, Iran.
Yay, I win.
That's it. Ahmadinejad, Ahmadinejad has won. Been declared the new prime minister or president.
And as is traditional, the person who came second is disputing the result.
Yeah. And is about to be killed, probably.
But why do we care?
I don't particularly.
We want...
But a lot of people say, oh, well, because if he gets back in, he's like the more fundamental one, as the chap got back in, and then so they'll continue with their nuclear programme. And but, you know, it's not going to affect us in this country that much.
Well, I don't know. I think we're more scared that it's going to be a little haven for crazy people with bombs strapped to them who want to come over here and take away all our tubes with bombs.
Yeah, take away all our... Native, indigenous, British terrorist jobs.
So, yeah, we're going to rape all our jobs and be paid for going out with our women.
I'm pretty sure, though, that the average Iranian nutcase has bigger axes to grind against the US or Israel than against the UK. So let them go up against them first.
Well, yeah.
And if they try it, once they're sort of a few more huge smoking holes in the world, we'll still be relatively untouched in this country.
Well, like that, so it's nice to be untouched by bombs.
Well, by bombs, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, other things. Good. Yeah, so everybody was hoping for the other bloke to get in, who nobody can remember the name of. As was pointed out in Have I Got News For You last night by that lady. Yes, what was his name?
somebody whose name you don't know was talked about. Yeah, by somebody else whose name you don't know.
Mr. Masavi. I like that name, though. It would have been a nicer name for the news. Mr. Masavi! It sounds like a kind of like Mr. Majika or Mr. Magoo. It's great.
Mr. Majika?
Yeah.
Mr. Magoo. But yeah, Mr. Masavi issued a statement shortly after 1 o'clock saying that he didn't believe it. He said, I don't believe it, he said. And it turned out all the time that it was in fact Bob Marley who'd been voted in.
It's amazing what you can find out on the internet. I'm glad you've got that laptop on.
Yeah.
Just so you can check our facts as we go through.
Indeed.
Now I've been very depressed this week.
Why is that?
Watching the cricket.
Ah.
Which you two probably won't have any interest in. But it is the... hey! No, Jim.
Well, penis.
It's the World 2020 Championship, held now every 2 years since as far back as 2005, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or possibly 2006.
Oh, is that the one where they wear the horrible pyjamas?
And,
it wasn't 2006, if it was every 2 years.
Yeah, they've been doing the pyjama thing for years and years and years now, but what's really, really bad is how crap we are.
Mm.
considering that we invented it. Now, admittedly, we invented cricket full stop, and we invented Test cricket, like, about 120 years ago.
Yeah.
It took us just over 100 years to be the shittest team playing Test cricket.
Yep.
And then it took us about 20 years to be the shittest team playing 50-over cricket, one-day cricket. It's taken us 4 years now to become the worst team playing 2020. And we invented it.
Yeah.
Well, we really shouldn't invent
it. Have we gone out now, then?
We're about to. I think our next match is against India, who are the current world champions.
Right.
That'll be it. It'll be over for us then.
That's a bit of a shame, because talking to you the other week, we seem to be doing quite good for a while. Quite well.
What's worrying me is, though, is this exponential thing for how quickly we're soon. The next version of cricket that we actually invent, there will be teams better at it than us before we've even taught them the rules.
Yeah.
That is the way it's going. Well, we just shouldn't carry on in this vein.
What we need to do now is go back to and have real cricket. Where we it's all played on village greens with that slightly bent bat, and we all have to wear bloomers or pantaloons.
I don't believe there's many parts of the country where that still goes on.
I think if we brought that back, we might win at it. It's just a thought.
Well, mainly because it'd be two English villagers playing.
Exactly, and they wouldn't really win. And it would have to be played in an English village, and you would have to be on an English village green. So you have a choice of having parts of your country denoted as English. By maybe having it as a big embassy.
Yeah.
And then building a traditional English village on it. Or you can't play. So we win.
Ah.
It might just work, but I don't think you'll be flogging many of the TV rights to Sky. Sadly, that's the way it rules these days.
Yeah. I'm sure Setanta will buy them up.
Setanta can't buy anything at the moment. There's somebody talking on, admittedly, on Five Live, so they were having a little sort of chuckle of themselves about it. Saying anyone who's doing presenting now on or commentating on Setanta is getting like readies, getting cash up front.
Yeah, because I've got Setanta as part of my package on the cable. On the cable. It's a new sort of hard hitting drama. On the cable, but I never watch it because it's just got football on it all the time. If it had something interest on it, like rowing, I like a bit of rowing. Yeah.
You like rowing?
I like a bit of rowing. Yeah, I like to watch a bit of rowing.
What? Like what sort of, like, paddles up kind of rowing? Off of my youth.
Well...
You remember paddles up?
That's more kayaking and canoeing, isn't it? Rowing?
It's a sort of rowy action.
More stroke. Stroke.
You're talking about stroke. Oarsmanship? Right. I see you're marting into that now.
Young men in Lycra.
Yes, fair dude.
Yeah.
You just like them when they're stood up getting their medals at the end, don't you?
Yeah. I like them when they're carrying the boat down and they're just going wobbly.
Like tossing their cocks into the water and all that.
Yeah, it's great. I think it was a bit of a wankathon is the old boat race stroke. Oh, yes, look at that. Oh, they're going red in the face now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Putney Bridge.
Yeah.
Putney Bridge, I call it.
Thinky of wanking, like make
Bridge. It's one of my favourite Thames bridges, you know.
Yeah.
How do you decide on preference within your London bridges?
It's what they look like, really. It's the nicest one after dark, I think.
Oh.
It's lit nicely and it's not too gaudy.
See if you can get a hand job underneath it from, is my...
There's not many of them that I could sort of imagine how they look like. One or two, I think.
But yeah.
Albert Bridge
is possibly my favourite during the day one.
Yeah, there you go.
How about late afternoon?
It's Albert Bridge, anyway. It's either Albert or Battersea. I can't remember which around there.
So your favourite late afternoon bridge would be?
I don't know. That's more tricky.
What about your brunch bridge? About a brunch bridge?
Oh, no, I don't like bridges at brunch time. Yeah. It's the Rotherhithe Tunnel for brunch.
All right.
So, has anybody else done well in the Queen's Birthday Honours?
Yeah.
Apart from various celebs and sportspersons, I got an OBE.
Fantastic.
Did you?
I got OBE for services to propping up the British porn industry and plugging Metro.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, work well put in there.
Because, funnily enough, I got an MBE for services to journalism for continuously slagging off Metro.
Yeah. Yeah, we are symbionts.
Yeah.
Is an MBE better than an OBE?
I don't know. I can never remember which way around they go.
Still, I just think it's to show how little we care about them.
Yeah.
You know, just shrug them off. Blase.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I barely even noticed. What about you, Martin? Did you get anything?
I was made Duke of Cornwall.
Really?
Ooh.
For services to biscuit eating.
That's very good.
What does that entail?
Usually you put the biscuit in your mouth, or dunk it first. I like to dunk it first in a nice big cup of tea that's I prefer, I quite like your chocolate chip digestives, which you can get from Sainsbury's. They're very nice.
Really? They sound a bit dubious.
Oh, they're gorgeous, I tell you.
Chocolate-covered digestives.
No, chocolate chip digestives. They're the way forward, I tell you, mate. They're the way forward. I'm fucking Duke.
Sounds bogus to me, man.
I'm going
to
say, when I asked that question, I was thinking more what being the Duke of Cornwall entailed.
Oh, right.
Rather than your services to biscuits.
Well, being the Duke of Cornwall means that I have to manufacture biscuits. I've taken this duty over from the Prince of Wales, who's moved away from the biscuits area and has moved more into Sprouts with his name tattooed onto them, genetically.
Organic ink, though.
Yeah. Mm. So I've taken that over. I also get the income from the Duchy of Cornwall, and I'm now building my own little modern village. It looks just like Todmorden.
Yeah. You say modern village or model village?
Modern.
Or modern model.
Modern.
Ah.
Modern.
Modern.
Modern. Modern. I'm also building a model village nearby, which is a miniature one. Mm. And that's an actual model of Tadcaster.
Nothing wrong with Tadcaster.
And it's got a big pint in the middle of it. Yeah.
It's got two breweries.
Yeah. In fact, it's...
How do you know how many his model village had?
Oh, sorry, I was talking about the real one.
Oh, no, I was talking about Martin's one.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and the village has two microbreweries.
I don't get it.
I feel sick.
So do all the listener.
Do you now have to sleep with the Duchess of Cornwall?
I do. I just call her a tampon, and she just goes all wobbly, and I just stick my head in her.
Yeah.
It's a bit like rattling a stick in a drum, but...
stick in a drum?
Yeah, a big oil drum.
Oh, like an oil drum.
Yeah. You were thinking of the percussion industry.
And, yeah, and that just wouldn't...
Yeah, well, of course, the Prince of Wales is under fire from architects at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Why for?
Is is blocking a building project at the Chelsea Barracks in West London.
Mm. Yeah. What's it got to do with him?
Apparently, he doesn't like how it's going to look.
How can we get some kind of say so?
You see, back in the old days,
he's a fucking prince of the realm.
If it had been Princess Margaret, she's just happy to have barracks anywhere. And foot bandages.
I don't know. He should wind his fucking neck in, if you ask me.
Well, you know, I've got one of his jobs. I'm working towards the rest of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like Blackadder. I'm just going to pretend to be him at the end.
You want to be King Kor?
Yeah. I want to be the King Kor.
Brilliant. When you're King, like, promote me to some fancy, spanky position.
Oh, yeah.
Spanky position? Or like sort of royal bum smacker for Sweden or something like that?
Precisely that.
And of course, if I become King, it'll be an absolute monarchy. I'm going to do away with all this bloody House of Commons nonsense.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to skateboard through the Commons on a daily basis and laughing. I can't even use a skateboard. I'm going to have a man push me on a skateboard through the House of Commons laughing.
That'd be very good.
Yeah.
I'd come and watch that in the public gallery.
Oh, you'll be allowed to watch me do it on a daily basis, but you'll have to bow and throw money at me.
That'd be the new... the equivalent to changing of the guard now. Tourists queuing up outside to see the new King Martin.
By throwing money at you, does that include lobbing sharpened 2p's at your head?
No, because you would be shot. No, you would be shot. You'd be beheaded. It was much better. I'll also be wearing a leopard skin thong while this is happening.
No, I'm not going to come and watch then.
No. It'll be televised. Yeah. It'll be on the Parliament channel.
24-hour BBC Parliament. Scrolling Martin skateboarding through the Commons.
They'll manage to sort of... The BBC will manage to pad it out with, like, old footage.
Pay David Dimbleby to do really solemn commentary on it.
And
here comes the King.
Who is catching some air there as he went over...
For only the third time this minute.
Yes. Oh, he's looking now at the large throne.
Oh, one of his aides has fallen slightly, but he's back up and pushing him once again.
Oh, a testicle just popped out of his pants. That's only the second time this has happened in 200 years.
But just one of the reasons why this king was one of the most beloved monarchs we've had in recent time.
And the threats of death. Yeah, so that's my future laid down. So what's yours, really, with it? Where are you going to be all going with your new titles and things?
Well, like anything I ever get, I'm going to sort of sit back and do nothing for a while and see if something's just handed to me on a plate.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
That's a good way to live your life.
I, you know, read a few books while I'm waiting.
Yeah.
But as long as I don't do anything proactive. A, because it sounds difficult, and B, because I don't really know what it means.
And it sounds wanky.
And I hate that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody that uses the word proactive, I dislike.
You've used it like twice yourself just now.
Yeah.
You self-loathing man.
I then countered it by saying that it's a wanky word. However, if our listener spots me using it again, let me know.
Yeah.
Oh, there have been some hilarious pictures in the news this week, though, haven't they? I mean, a Phil Spector without his wig on.
Oh, yeah, that's work.
That was a wig?
Yeah. Why would have a wig like that? Whether it just
the point of getting a wig is that it was supposed to look better than you could make your normal hair.
I reckon he used to just throw it in the tumble dryer without one of those dry sheets and the...
Oh, maybe, yeah.
The static...
Have you got a picture there? I haven't seen that one yet.
Wow.
Good Lord, the state of him.
Well...
Fat, bald, evil pervert in paradise.
He's not that fat.
No.
Still my favourite headline, though.
That was good.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should explain what that headline is. Oh, perhaps not. Just leave it hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember which tabloid it was that had that one.
Yeah.
He does look a proper sex case, though, doesn't he?
I thought he meant like a sexy case. You look like a sexy case.
Not sexy at all.
I've only vaguely followed that story, but it seemed like this last trial's been over reasonably quickly.
Yeah.
And there was little doubt that he'd done it, and he'd done gone down.
Yes.
Probably for longer than he's going to remain alive.
Mm.
Which begs the question, how did he not get convicted the first trial he did? What was the fundamental flaw in that one?
I don't know, actually.
You're the legally bod.
Yeah, I wasn't paying any attention there.
Haven't you got the documents there?
Hang on, I'll have a look. No.
It's not been included in Andy's briefs for the day.
Good thing, too. They get very uncomfortable.
C'est la vie. Now, just allow me a tiny, tiny backtrack, because Martin was talking about architects.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded, I was listening to something on the radio yesterday, and there was a chap, a spokesman for some organisation that actually offers support to architects who suffer emotional stress from seeing buildings that they've created being torn down, because we're moving more over to you know, like you have in America now, a system where buildings are designed for cheapness.
Well, yeah.
To only last 25, 30 years. Mm. And yet, you know, when they've invested a lot of time and emotion in these...
Mm. Well, it's their own fault for designing something so shit that's only going to last 10 to 20 years.
Well, I'm assuming they're doing it on a budget. they don't have much say.
Still, where's their principles? Well, they're going to whore themselves out for the lowest bidder.
They can't then
piss and moan about it afterwards.
You're not going to find yourself in a lot of work if that's your attitude as an architect. I think you probably have to work within remits, don't you?
Well, you make your choice, don't you? You're either doing it for the love and the art or for the money.
Well, what you need to do is go back to how it was in the 60s and 70s. Architects there were all alcoholics. They just went, oh, well, draw us a building with it. And they just used to get like a... just drew us an oblong.
Is that why they were all square and very rectangular and straight lines and stuff? Just because it was easier to knock out when you were pissed?
That's it, yeah. Oh, shit. They used to draw a square right to the pub. Way! Let's do some disco dancing. Do woo!
Yes.
What a lifestyle.
I think that is, I believe, to be a correct historical fact.
Wow, I wish I had been an architect in the 70s. It sounds fabulous.
Actually, just talking about middle-class jobs in the 70s has reminded me, with a nice little feeling of delight, that there's going to be a new series of Supersizers.
Yeah.
Starting soon. Oh, how great is that?
80s fog up, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And they've slightly changed the name of the series, but we can forgive them that.
What's it now called?
It went from Supersizers Go, which was the last series, to now the Supersizers Eat.
Ah.
Yeah, so that looks fantastic. I love it. I don't know what it is about that series.
It's the finale of Supersizers Eat Each Other. Just to give us a little treat.
I was going to say, in a cannibalistic or a fruity way.
I was thinking more fruity.
Yeah.
Fruity.
But, you know, whatever pushes your buttons.
No, I'd be in line with the fruity one.
You're quite right. I don't know why it is just such a joyful program to watch. I think I don't know if it's just the fact it's funny, and you got the chemistry between those two is fantastic.
It is, yeah.
Mm. It's all just good. Just watching people eating for a week, and it's like
eating and drinking though. That's, yeah, they just see huge amounts of booze put away.
That's it. And Sue Perkins, when pissed, is very funny. So I think that's another reason to watch it. Wait until she goes red in the face, and then you know you're on to a winner for that episode.
Yeah. If anybody's not seen it, one of the highlights within the show are the little sort of personal to camera end of day pieces that they do, where they're looking sweaty and bloated. And yeah. You can almost hear their digestive systems trying to cope with all this weird food.
It's so Sue Perkins saying things like, "I'm feeling dark." And then you cut to Giles Corner, who's munching away in a chicken leg.
Still going.
Going, "Oh, this is terrible. I'm kind of hard to eat. I'll just drink some more of this." It's certainly his father's son. He's certainly got the affability of his father. That's quite nice, really.
And that's this week it kicks off, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
This Monday. Hey. This Monday at 9 o'clock on BBC Two.
Well, my delightful other half will no doubt be magi-boxing it, so we can watch it together.
You can get your penis to set the magi-box.
Actually, talking about my other half, not my penis, as mine obviously interpreted that. Well, it would have been impressive, because my other half was rooting around in my ear last night. And much as I'd like to be able to do that with my cock, I'm afraid I'm not that well endowed. But
the man from Nantucket.
Yes.
I complained that I had a bit of wax in my ear, and her being a doctor,
yeah,
albeit a doctor who deals with dead people, rooted out this implement, which is effectively a big spike and a torch, yeah, and like went into my lug hole.
Yeah.
And it now hurts immensely. I can no longer put my finger in it and waggle it around, because it just hurts lots.
That's not good.
Yeah, I usually end up sort of sticking keys in my ear, you know, bits of stick, dog shit. I don't care, just to get it cleared out.
Yeah.
And do you ever do that thing in the bath when you sort of, if you have a bath, you're laying under the water and you can swill it from side to side. And if you keep going, eventually the water rushes into each ear.
And you get through it, the middle, in your case.
Yeah. And keep going back, and you go whoosh, 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 whoosh. And then, you know, when it starts doing that whoosh, whoosh, whoosh thing, you know you've actually cleared most of the detritus and debris out of there. Whoosh, whoosh,
whoosh. Oh, it was nice. I used to like doing that as a kid. I'd get, you know, washing my hair in the bath, because we were too poor to have a shower.
So,
yeah. And so I'd sort of get up and just tilt your head and you get that sort of... It almost sounded like it was swirling around.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but you could imagine it was washing out your lug oil.
So it's like, like using that sort of peroxide Otex stuff. That's
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sort of fizzles.
Otex. That caused me a reasonable amount of humility at one point, did that stuff.
Why?
On the grounds that I, a recent past, had a problem with earwax again. And I'd mentioned this to my granddad, who said, "Oh, you want to put some olive oil in that?" And I just thought, fucking granddad, what does he know? Olive oil. The old school medicine. So yeah. I went and got myself some Otex, to which I paid God knows how many pounds. Yeah. And looked at the ingredients, which like 99.9% olive oil.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Fuck!
So, what you need to do is to get yourself some olive oil and some peroxide and just mix it together. You've got your own Otex. It's great.
Yeah.
I'll do like I did, because I used to bleach my hair back in the olden days. And I had some shampoo which had peroxide in it, which so it continually bleached it.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to put that in my ears. And did the same thing, just fizzed away.
Lovely.
Pardon?
I've done a reasonable amount of chemistry, and I wouldn't recommend to anybody listening to do anything with peroxide. It'd be damn bad stuff.
It fizzes, it's fun. Anything that fizzes is fun. It's like the old vinegar and Bitrex. No, vinegar
bicarb?
And bicarb, yeah.
Mm.
What's Bitrex?
It's stuff that they put in stuff to make it taste bitter.
Like beer?
No, that's hops.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's stuff that they put in poisonous stuff to make it taste bitter.
Well, suffice it to say, my girlfriend's no doubt long-term plan to stop me nagging her about any small medical issue has now worked.
Yeah, she'll just get the spike out next time you mention anything.
Well, even before, you say anything, and apparently this is true to most doctors, you say, "Oh, God, my elbow really hurts." They'll just poke it. Because it's instinctive. They must do something in training where they're taught that every single patient will lie to you. So if they say that something hurts, make sure it does hurt.
I just make sure they're not a fucking brain surgeon. That'd be disastrous.
My brain hurts.
Got a headache.
Yeah, I was just
straight through the eye.
Given a reaction to your ear problem, it's a good thing you didn't have anything wrong with your winky, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, she's not allowed to go anywhere near that.
Oh, that's right. Not with a big metal spike, anyway.
Hoover.
Yeah. So have you found anything interesting in today's paper? Because I noticed you've been flicking through the delightful star.
Only that bit that I've already done now.
That's it? That's all you've got?
There was rubbish all in it today.
Bloody hell, I'm not buying that again.
I know, it was useless. There's hardly anything. There's, you know, lots of showbiz shit, but... And
well, we were having a good giggle about Hazel fucking Blears.
Oh, yeah.
who's issued a grovelling apology.
Yeah.
Now, given that... I mean, what she effectively did was resign on the eve of the local elections in order to maximise the impact of that. So she did something which was basically selfish, purely career motivated, at least, politically timed resignation.
Yeah.
And then not realising that this is going to piss off all the hardcore Labour support.
Now her constituents are annoyed at her. Suddenly she's giving some whiny apology.
You can't apologise for something. You apologise for something that you did accidentally.
Yeah.
But you can't get around the fact that you did it purely motivated by your personal self-interest.
Yeah.
So,
but if you're watching the news channels yesterday, well, you would have thought that the only reason she was apologising was for wearing a brooch. She wore a particular little brooch that said, "I'm rocking the boat" on it, which had a picture of a boat on it.
Well, everywhere refers to it as a brooch, but I've not seen it, but it sounds, with a slogan on it, sounds to me more like just a cheap little badge.
No, it's quite a nice brooch. It's a little enamelled thing and a little... it's kind of...
Is it encrusted with jewels?
It was kind of oval, and it's gold around the edges, and in the gold it said, "I'm rocking the boat," and in the middle there was a ship.
Yeah. I think she's more sunk.
Yeah,
let's hope so.
Bye bye to the weird ginger midget.
Yeah.
Who I find strangely enticing from certain angles.
Oh no, that is wrong.
Well, she'll probably be making porn from now on.
Wrong.
I know, but you know.
She's horrible in every regard.
I can't say I'm proud of it.
Still, I suppose it's big of you to admit it for comedy purposes. If I thought that, I'd have kept it to myself.
Now, apart from giving some sort of vague, half-assed, speedily thought-up ideas about reforming Parliament this week, Gordon Brown is showing no signs of going, which is a shame, because I'd quite like to see, another Labour leader there doing really badly instead. Mm. One of the main problems seems to be they don't have anyone that the public's even aware of.
Yes.
Because, half the cabinet seem to be resigning. The other half, I really, apart from Alan Johnson, who I could vaguely imagine what he looks like, that's about it. Peter Mandelson is being used in an odd way at the moment. Because everyone is really difficult to get into the cabinet, then he seems to be giving Mandelson more and more jobs. So he's just had a new title given to him.
First Secretary of State,
yeah. Because he's had two departments sort of melded together.
Yeah.
And they can't carry on doing that.
And the other
thing that Brown's doing is dragging people from the Lords into cabinet.
Yeah.
So there's no more unelected people serving on the cabinet. To the point where Glenys Kinnock is now cabinet minister. She's never been elected.
Is she?
Well, it's bizarre.
To the British Parliament. Anyway, I think she was served as an MEP at one point. But
it's beginning to resemble a Victorian cabinet, really.
Oh, yeah. if she does a good job, then fair enough.
Apart from the women.
I was thinking, it's hardly surprising that at that meeting that they had the other day with all the Labour MPs, that one of the things that swung it was Neil Kinnock in impassioned speech on behalf of the Prime Minister. It's hardly surprising. She's giving your wife a job.
You easily bought cock. Welsh twat.
No, I like Neil Kinnock these days. Now he's not on TV so much.
Yeah. Oh, no, God.
And he did that lovely cameo in Drop the Dead Donkey, then he's all right in my book.
I've been watching that recently on the Virgin box. Drop the Dead Donkey. It's quite dated, because, of course, the news is quite dated, but also the comedy is quite dated these days. Bit of a pity. Because Madonna's been allowed to adopt a brown baby again.
Has she?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And she had to go to court, though, didn't she?
Yeah.
So you can legalise kidnap these days, can you?
Yeah, pretty much. Providing you've got lots and lots of money and you're in a quite a poor country, you can buy anything. Yeah, so the kid's called Chifundo James, or Mercy, it actually means. Either it just says here Chifundo Mercy James, so whether that's just his name, Chifundo Mercy James, I can't really work out.
Is that like his pop star name?
It must be. Apparently she's taking Mercy out of a life of destitution. Into a life of just drug possible drug addiction and riding around LA in a big car and getting pulled over. His life's fucked. Let's just say that now. How many kids of the rich and famous can you think of, who you might know of, who are kind of balanced individuals?
Lawrence Fox.
Yeah, well, they're kind of British. I should have said.
Nice chap. Good actor. Conquers deep in Top Black.
I should have specified American.
Billy.
Is he?
We talked about this in the very first podcast.
That was over a year ago. I don't remember celebrity tittle-tattle.
Yeah, I remember. I was talking about him being tall and having a big cock and wondering whether all the blood rushed into his cock and he passed out during sex.
Right, yeah.
Remember that?
I was saying things like... in the background.
Yeah, it was the very beginning of the banking crisis and we were talking about whether the bankers had trampolines or bouncing around the city.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that entire first thing?
Yes, I remember all that. I just don't remember the celebrity gossip bits.
it's only because I've been listening to them recently while I've been setting up the new website. That was
I'm
all.
Not a smelly chap.
Yeah, recorded them, edited them, listening to them again.
It helps. It kind of fixes them in your brain. And actually, a strange thing is when I'm editing them and then I've got to upload it and then write the little piece, you know, the description of the podcast, I can't remember what's been said in it. So I have to go back and listen to chunks of it. Just fast forward through it. It's weird. I don't actually listen to it when I'm editing. I'm just listening out for stutters and hesitations and deviations. I'd be crap doing just a minute. Certainly editing it, it would just like be literally a minute long.
Editing it.
Yeah, if I was
you're
editing,
that's the next BBC scandal. They edit just a minute.
No, say if I edited just a minute, and I was right. I would just be editing out all the hesitations and deviations, so nobody would know. People would be just going for the entire thing talking. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open lay.
Now, what's her face? Your Boyle woman.
Yes. Susan, what about
Boyle?
Her?
Tommy Boyle.
She's had, well, I suppose it's come back, but she's managed to get out of her inverted commas rehab.
Yeah.
In time for the first live show of the UK's tour.
Yeah.
To a standing ovation.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
A standing ovation for a song that they've all heard her sing before.
I think it was a rather cynical bit of will she, won't she build up to it.
You know her career, it kind of reminds me of an episode of The Simpsons. It's a bit like something like Homer would go through, where it kind of becomes really famous overnight and then just one then goes around on tour and then it's all forgotten again the next week.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that to happen with her.
True. Although they have referred to it in The Simpsons recently, haven't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, Homer. I think Homer was actually a similar talent thing and said, "All right, my name's Homer Simpson and I've never been kissed," or something along those lines. So it doesn't take long these days.
No, it doesn't. Because they're churning out to Simpsons by the minute.
Yeah.
It is odd, though. And I read that there's various actresses vying for who will play her in the you know, story of her life.
I think they should choose somebody.
I thought the whole point why she was so interesting, well, why people were so interested in her, is that she'd not done much with her life. It would be quite a dull first two-thirds of the film, you would have thought.
I think Keira Knightley would be good.
So do I.
Just because I like to see her in a big wig and some eyebrows. It'd be just hilarious. Because you can only do posh, can Keira Knightley. You know. if she tries to do a Cockney, it's kind of like, "Hello, I'm a Cockney. Call blimey, governor."
So do you think they'd do the entire beginning bit of her life right up until the first audition just as a montage over the opening credits?
Standing up, walking upstairs.
Start little kid, zip, 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 zip. Just as she's walking up the stage as the credits finish.
Beans on toast.
A little hairy baby coming out.
Singing.
Right there.
That'd be good.
But I mean, what would be the point of a film when everybody who's interested has seen everything that it's possible to know about her?
Yeah.
Already.
They'll make films about anything. Yeah. It goes into, is it HBO in America with the movie of the week, which are often biopics and... Oh shit!
It would be beyond all sense to actually recreate that, so that there was a fiction of exactly the same thing, which would then be watched by the very people who'd seen it all happen live.
You'd think it would be beyond all sense, except there's enough stupid people that will probably pay you money to see it that it probably is quite commercially viable.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it on commercial grounds.
Beyond all good sense or good beyond all taste.
We just do live in a very odd world now.
Yes,
we all live in a very odd world. Oh, but you're talking about entertainment. This week there's been quite a funny story. It's been going on Twitter, is this, and on the web. Have you been reading about it? Robert Llewellyn's, a bit of Robert Llewellyn's, one of his YouTube videos was used on a BBC.
What, one of his carpools? Or?
No, it was what he did in 2006. It was dad dancing.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was demonstrating dad dancing. He was saying that once you have a kid, you can't dance anymore. And he did quite a good dad dance.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was, and all of a sudden it was used on, I think it was Southwest Tonight. They used it without permission. Now.
Yeah, but they're bastards for that, Southwest Tonight.
Yeah, I tell you. But of course he was absolutely angry, because he's a keen YouTuber, as you're Llewellyn. He's got hundreds of videos on there. And it was absolutely furious, because, of course, if you were to use a piece of a BBC programme on there, you'd be slammed down and you know, hauled over the coals and rogered by the man. Well, you wouldn't, you'd just have it taken down by them, but they still go mad. And the fact that they're using other people's videos without permission under the fair use copyright clause, which is great for us here at the Gentleman's Review, because we've used that ourselves in the past to get away with stuff, but it just seemed a little bit wrong. So he wrote a letter to the BBC. The BBC then said that they hadn't received it. The Guardian picked up the story and showed the video in full. But it was a very funny story in the end. And we're still waiting for him to get at least an apology out of them. So, yeah, keep going to lutube.com, I think it is. www.lutube, which is lutube.com.
Do you mean dooby-dooby-doo?
Oh, sorry, yes, I keep forgetting. You're just going to... what I'll do is I'll whisper in your ear the next time we'll got a URL to say. You just come out with it. There we go. And the chap's been saved, of course.
That's Lutube, is it?
Lutube. Yeah. As in... yes.
I have another semi-Sandy Tuxvig-esque prompt. Which accusedly closet footballer is going to be having a really lucrative time in Spain from now on?
That'd be Cristiano and lovely thighs Ronaldo.
And we were sort of having a laugh about the two-page story of him supposedly having some sort of shag with Paris Hilton. And it was suggesting he was bragging to his mates about it.
Well,
what do you think?
Doesn't seem, you know, at the best of times, doesn't seem a particularly brag-worthy achievement anyway.
Not really. We've all seen the video.
But we were saying that, you know, he's now the world's most expensive footballer and obviously has playboy lifestyle. Therefore, he's in a good position to actually get a shag off her, because she's just a shallow, pointless...
Well, yeah.
You'd be more surprised if he hadn't, really.
Yeah. If, you know, if you're just some average beer-gut guy in a pub, you'd manage to score with her, fair enough. Do a bit of bragging. That's at least worthy of the
well, yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking young man, and yes, frankly, you know, I would. Several times over. Very nice.
Oh, and I think he would with you too.
Not, yes. That's the problem with this whole being chubby and unattractive thing. It kind of, you know, discounts all kind of people from your sexual circle, including the straight ones, which is, I've always found a little bit confusing.
Actually, I like the fact that Andy suggested that the only reason he's got off with such a high profile woman was to try and counter the rumours I'm constantly putting about.
Obviously a big listener to the Gents Review.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
We got him married.
Oh yeah, as I was saying earlier, the chap has been saved, the chap magazine. If you'd like to still give them some money, please do. I'll just keep them running for the next few weeks. Yeah, well, what happened is that because they decided to go for the A4 format.
Now, I thought at the time that was a mistake.
And I think printers are like drug dealers. They'll give you the cheap deal for the, for, you know, oh, yeah, why don't you go to A4? We won't charge you any more for it. It's great, you know. And then the next run, it's, oh, yeah, you're A4, aren't you? That'll be double the price, please. So, yeah, they've gone back down to do the, is it B4 or A4?
Oh, I can't remember.
It's a smaller one anyway. It's kind of like a little booklet-sized one.
Now, I was having a read-through of the copy you gave me.
Yeah.
And, yes, it's very enjoyable and quite well attuned to me. But I didn't think it's quite a niche market they've gone for.
Yeah, it does seem to have quite a reasonable readership, to, you know, enough to keep it going, which is... and I think possibly the listeners of this particular podcast will enjoy it. Somebody's already mentioned to me that they've seen it in a shop being sold. So who listens to this podcast? So hopefully more will be there soon.
That's a top bit of feedback.
There you go.
Yeah.
We have our spies out there looking to see whether things are being sold in shops.
In shops.
For money. Dear me. Oh, this is another story here which is making me chuckle quite a lot. More and more viruses are being targeted at Mac users.
Ah, yes, they're hosted on porny sites, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's the fact that they've been smuggling for years saying there are no viruses for Macs. None at all. In fact, even in those, even though I love Mitchell and Webb, in those adverts,
yeah,
it was always, oh, there are no viruses for the Mac.
Yeah. Whereas I think now, obviously, the truth of it is that Robert Webb obviously had some dubious virus, but he just didn't know about it at the time.
Yes.
That's the tragedy of it.
That's it. It's kind of like an AIDS thing.
Maybe they're going to have a follow-up advert of David Mitchell and a load of other people just at a funeral. All going, and he never even knew.
He's botnetted to death.
Yeah.
You must have missed this particularly strange article. Admittedly buried on page 20 of the Star, about a mum of two escaping community service by insisting she can only walk in 4-inch heels.
Oh, I can see that. With some women wear heels all lives and they get these shortened things.
Yes.
Yeah, they walk a bit like Alan does.
This kind of there's very a specific reference the listeners are all going to latch onto.
You've got, well, so specific.
Even I don't get what you're on about.
Well, eventually they're going to. I'm thinking about when we get to podcast 100.
Mm.
I'm going to write a guide to the podcast. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it'll be sort of an illustrated history, which will be about 500,000 pages, just of pictures of us sitting here talking.
Yeah,
I've had to Photoshop because we've only got two pictures of us sitting here talking.
Ask us, we're always sitting here talking. Yes. We've got no time to be doing things like taking photographs. Wow.
It's great, really, isn't it?
Wow.
What?
You found another particularly picture lame of Princess headline. Eugenie again.
No, it was the headline, Groom and Bust. Which is just about how little we're now spending on wedding presents.
Although,
the average one is £36. Mm. Which I've never spent. I think 15 would be the tops that I spent on my traditional lava lamp.
Yeah.
Any wedding I've ever been to, that's what they've got. Except the one person that said, well, we've got a lava lamp, so can we have something else? So I got one of those like big tube lamp with glittery bits in.
Yeah.
But as far as I can see, if you don't have a lava lamp, you're going to be happy to have one.
Oh, yeah, everyone's happy to get a lava lamp.
And if you do have one, you'll be happy to have another, a different colour. So, you know, you can't
as long
go
as
wrong.
You get, so long, have you ever committed the ultimate social faux pas and bought someone a lava lamp of the same colour than they already have?
That would be bad, yeah. I admit. But yeah. I've not managed it yet.
You'd probably need to kill yourself if you ever did that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always saw that as a fairly safe wedding present.
Yeah. I mean, I always, as a wedding present, I always try and find something peculiar or something silly. Because I hate wedding lists. To me, they're like orders. They are, you will buy as these things.
Oh, no, I wouldn't buy anything off a wedding
list. No, I never ever buy anything off a wedding
list.
No,
I would, purely because it saves me having to think of anything myself.
No, they're so expensive, the presents on the wedding list.
You know, one of the things on the wedding list.
Ones, they'll have had the decency to put something on fairly cheap as well.
Probably
just need to get in there quickly before everyone else snaps
yeah,
up
exactly.
The
I'll
sub 50 quid items.
It makes me, they make me angry, the wedding lists. It's kind of, I mean, I'll never have a situation in my life when I will be able to put out a list of presents that I want people to get me. So why the fuck should anybody else?
But it's all, I mean, it's just, there's no imagination then that needs to go into it. And the whole point is, if I'm going to a wedding, I'll know at least one of the two people getting married. Hopefully. And therefore I should be able to use my imagination to come up with a gift that I know they'll appreciate.
Yeah,
but do they really, though? Because, I mean, you know, you must have got disappointing presents from people in the past, like family members and stuff, who you'd have thought would know you, but have bought you something that they've thought was really good, and that you've actually thought was, great, I'll stick that in the back of a cupboard and never use it.
That's never happened to me.
Yeah.
Not huge that I remember, although you were looking at me as if you had a specific...
No, not at all. I was just looking at you because I was replying to you. There was no implication of a specific thing
that's
there at all.
Happened to me.
I've generally got good things from
I mean, my parents seem to know me reasonably well, and my dad always asks me what I want anyway, so...
Porn!
I tend not to say that to them.
Well, moreover, you know, the other safe bet for any marriage, if it's your traditional male-female marriage, which most of them still are, you just get a box of chocolates and a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll see them through the dark days, won't it?
Both of them will be happy.
Yeah. Or decree nice eye. That'd be quite good.
give them something to do on the honeymoon, because they'll be bored of fucking each other by the time they get married.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
They've only done it for the presents and the financial benefits.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other reason
Ooh, the cynicism there, sorry. Okay, that didn't come out in total how I intended it to.
Oh, yes, the recession is over, apparently.
Is it? That's nice.
It's not been declared officially yet, but it's kind of pretty much over. We've had two months of growth, the housing market's on the up. Banks are beginning to pay back the loan back to the government, at least one of them is.
That's quite good, because I'm still waiting to feel it kick in.
Yeah, no.
It's just something that's vaguely been talked about for the past year that I haven't noticed.
I think it's a bit like this chicken pig flu. In the fact that people have been going on about it and sort of saying it's the worst thing ever, and 800 people have had it in this country, and none of them have died.
As long as you're not a chicken pig, it's not really much of a...
And they've even stopped giving Tamiflu now to them, because it's like not necessary, because the symptoms are so mild.
It's the oddness of something that they can have a big pest conference, which they did this week. It's very rare, the World Health Organization gets uninterrupted coverage on broadcast.
Yeah.
They're just saying, no, it's officially a pandemic. There's bugger all we can do about it. So many millions are going to catch it. And yet, at this point in this country, like you said, less than 1,000 people have had it. None of them have died.
No, that's it. They're even saying that the older people won't get it, probably, because it's targeting young people.
Yeah.
Viruses targeting people. What is it, all getting together all these little viruses and going, well, who are we going to go to next? Here's the PowerPoint. Yeah. This is a wrinkly old face. You don't want to go for one of those. Here's quite a smooth face. That's quite a young person. And here's the nose. You've got to go in there. And then you've got to make them feel a bit bad for a couple of days. Okay? Go, viruses!
I don't know about viruses.
No. Did they say why? Is it in some way catered for by whatever the last batch of flu
apparently most of the people who've been ill have been younger people. Whether it is just that they're, because old people now full of flu virus, it's a flu jab or vaccine.
Yeah, it's going to be more young people interacting either at work or socially.
Probably it. And so they don't get it as much, which is fair enough, I think. So there you go.
But I wouldn't maybe laughing if it suddenly did have a twist in its tail and became like really bad or fatal.
Yeah.
And it was all the young people getting wiped out. I know plenty of old people who'd be giggling at that.
They would be giggling until they stopped getting their pension because there wasn't enough people working and paying national insurance to cover it.
Or the fact that they would have to go
then
to work.
I had to live for the rest of their miserable old people's lives on cat food. Up until that point, they'd be wetting themselves laughing.
Officially the cheapest thing to eat.
Everyone knows it's what poor old people eat.
It's what Ed Reardon eats in his...
Yeah.
He's only in his 50s, but in the programme.
Wow. Yeah. That's a scary thing, though. Mm. We should have something like that. Big, big virus that wipes out tens of millions of people. Like some good sci-fi, well, some bad sci-fi as well.
As long as they wipe me out.
That's probably anything like that, I suppose. I'm not the fittest person in the world.
Yeah. Then again, I never go out of the house apart from to go to work and come back again. So I suppose I would possibly survive. I'd just be sitting here watching DVDs.
I think you could possibly still catch it on the bus to work and at work.
Yeah, well, yeah, but probably less like some stuck in a side room.
I have had sort of little fantasies about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of, you know, what might happen if I was the only person or... Preferably me with a bunch of lasses were the only people left on the planet.
Did it involve repopulating the world?
The problem with my head is it won't let me have fantasies like that without worrying then about how I'm going to generate electricity and find food. And I just get bogged down in the actual, you know, facts and complications of it. And it just turns into nothing.
There must be a lifetime's worth of petrol and equipment still hanging around that you could quite happily generate electricity with.
You know, I just end up finding, you know, solutions to these things. And I thought, right, well, I've got these generators set up and I know where to find some fuel. So I don't know anything. But hold on, I should be thinking about the sex. Why have I spent 5 minutes thinking about this when the whole point was to have a fantasy whereby I was the only person doing any nobbing?
Who's that? Do you know?
Who hasn't put their phone on silent?
It's a landline, I'm afraid.
It's Martin. Mr. Martin.
Who did it say a name on the front of it?
It says 077 something.
Answer it and see. Answer it.
Actually, Tom, you answer it and then we'll talk to him on the podcast.
Hello? Nope, they've hung up.
All right, okay, that's okay.
That was rubbish.
Yeah, they've got
a bit disappointing.
They're going to bloody interrupt us. They could at least be entertaining.
Yeah, I know.
That is the first time that anyone has ever tried to contact us in any form whilst we're recording. Apart from my dad, that
time. Yes. When I had slid the phone that said his name. Oh, yeah, this week I've been really impressed with the Americans for once. Yeah. Because the Americans have just switched off their their analog network television. Oh. And they're not pissed around with it. They've told people, look, we're switching off now. Bang, it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's it. And there are millions of people bitching and whining that they've got blank screens when they get up in the morning because they've not bought the bloody Digibox. Ha, ha, ha! And I say that to all of you over here who haven't got them. Spastics. I think they should do that. Hey, I think you should shut them down. Shut it down now. Bang. Off.
Now, they just the block of flats that my granddad lives in has just gone digital.
Yeah.
So they've got themselves a digital transmitter on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And most people were sort of given the information they needed, so they've either got digital ready TVs or set-top boxes. And one of the main complaints that they've had since this has come in is that the old analog system that used to broadcast the little grainy picture above the entry phone system is no longer working.
Was that all tied in together then?
It just came through in the same feed as the old analog system. Right. But how many of them were using this? I mean, it's just, every now and again it was interesting to look at.
Oh, yeah.
There must have been so many of them using it. But they've got a spanky new one that they're going to bring in. For the time being, there's been complaints.
When I lived in a block of flats, I used to sit there and just watch the drunks coming back at the end of the night. It was great because you'd see them sort of lurch towards the door, realise they'd lost the keys, and then start hitting buttons randomly on the keypad to sort of make somebody let them in through the door. People wouldn't, and then you see them sort of get more angry, and they start and then they walk away, and then you kind of, because you only had that little sort of feel of vision, and then all of a sudden they come running back in again, smash into the door and walk, go away again. It was fantastic.
Oh, well, I must be doing these people a disservice then. I didn't realise there was so much entertainment to me.
Yeah, probably in the old people's blocks, though, it's probably all quite nice rather than these the drugs.
Now, if the front door opened inwards, of course, you could wait just until they were taking a run-up and then press the door release just as they did. Watched them shoot through.
Happy days. Not happy days. Horrible place to live.
But you made the most of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to go out and clean the lift before people came up because I was so embarrassed about it.
Because of the big poo that was in there.
Well, that was the if it had been a sitcom, that would have been the punchline to the entire episode, because that evening before you guys got round to I'll tell the listeners, I was having my usual Saturday night in. I was making a curry or something and invited everybody around, and it had quite a reasonable nice flat. It was reasonably done up nicely and in the block of flats, but the lift was always a bit grim. So I went out and I took a mop to the lift and I disinfected it all. I used Mr. Sheen on the pads to make them gleam so that the lift looked really nice. When people came in, they didn't think, oh, Martin's living in a shithole. And I spent about a good hour on this, but people kept coming into the lift and I kept just getting out, pretending I was just carrying a mop and bucket around with me, for no reason. And everybody arrived, went in and had our evening. And, of course, leaving again, the lift came up and what did we see on the floor? A perfectly cold-up human turd.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
And they all walked down the stairs.
Yes.
Let us shun this Wolfenden man. Never talk to him again.
So that's
it. Did need a sound effect on it of sort of ping and whack, whack, whack.
zoom into said turd. And then reaction on everybody's faces of, ooh, Martin.
Is that a savoury note to finish on?
I think so.
I think we should.
Lovely.
Well, from Gentleman's Review number 31, let's say bye-bye.
Bye-bye! Bye-bye.
That was the Gentleman's Review podcast, presented by Andrew Wilson, Martin Wolfenden, Tom Stringfellow. It was produced by the legs of Lady Macbeth. For more information about this podcast, go to www.thegentlemansreview.com.